back. Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton. We are recording, and this is episode numero nine. May I start by reading to you some stuff that's not so exciting, but I think it's important to understand kind of what's out there as far as the understanding and contrast it with what we're doing here. So I found this book at the library. Yeah, I'm about excited about it as I sound. It's called Psychology, Idiot's Guide. Well, it's called Psychology, 5th edition. So they really did have time to perfect it, but And it was one of the idiot's guides. Yeah, I looked in it for what's interesting to me about this stuff and the current field's understanding of stuff is what they purport kind of the theory to be. And I'm kind of coming up empty. And that might be how it goes. And we've already kind of talked about this. But let me just read a couple things from here. So this is under a little introductory part. Well, it's chapter one. But it talks a little bit about the scientific method and stuff. It says, science gave psychologists some pretty clear guidelines for studying human behavior. Be skeptical. Keep your values and opinions separate from your ideas and beliefs. Okay, can I read that again? Not because it's important, but because, well, the idea that I want to get to is important. Keep your values and opinions separate from your ideas and beliefs. Well, first of all, that's either very poorly worded to me or the concept is just wrong, but values and opinions and ideas and beliefs to me are all kind of the same thing. Keep your values and opinions different from your ideas and beliefs. The other thing is, well, wait a second. Are you trying to say that I should keep my beliefs and my own personal ideas separate from the science that I do? Because that's ridiculous. I'm sorry, that's just ridiculous. That's the reason we do science, people, is because we're human and we want to find the answer to things. Now, I understand if you're saying understand the difference between them and understand when you're talking about your own beliefs that nobody can verify and what we know and what we see. I'm all about that. And I think there's a lot of error in science with people who don't understand that difference. But I'm not sure what they're trying to say here. And the third little point here, ask only questions that can be answered with evidence. Wait a minute. Okay. So the counsel that I've been given and hold to and which came by inspiration to me was that I should ask all questions, that there are no questions that I should not ask. But this is telling me, no, you can only ask questions that can be answered with evidence. Why? You can ask whatever question you want. I can ask whatever question I want. You know why? Because we can seek, knock, ask. We can ask of God. And he will tell us. And most scientists, I guess, don't understand this principle. That you can ask anybody, me, you, anybody, can ask God for the answer to a question. And he won't always answer us when we think, or he won't always answer how we think, and we may not get the answer in our lifetimes or whatever. And that's fine. But he answers a lot more than people think. He really does. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, means he gives lots, and upbraideth not, meaning he won't like get mad at you for asking the question. So contrary to these people, I feel like a mad talk show host, you know, getting all worked up. Contrary to these people, you can ask whatever you want. And let me tell you something. Most people also think that there are only certain ways we can get information. That's our five senses, basically. Sight, sound, taste, smell, touch. And that's great, and we can get information that way. But we can also get it from God through the Holy Ghost or whatever other means God has to let us know those. But it has to be communicated to our intelligence And that happens through the Holy Ghost. And well, we talked about the light of Christ. I mean, that's knowledge too, but it's a different kind to me. Okay, so we have that other means of getting it. But you might say, but is it replicable? Can somebody else get that same information? And I say, absolutely. They can get the exact same results that I did. And the truth does not change as far as that goes. It's the same for everybody, okay? Lots of people, I think, like to say that the truth is relative, or, you know, one truth for one person, another truth for another person. And I say, no, there's one truth and it's the same for everybody. Now, could the thing for you to do be different in one circumstance than the thing for somebody else to do in another circumstance? Absolutely. Or in a quasi-identical circumstance? Absolutely. The thing that we should do and what's moral and right and everything can vary from one minute to another, because that depends on whatever God commands. But we can get answers from God, and as well as our five senses. And the Holy Ghost is a completely, completely valid way to know things. It communicates intelligence to us. It's a revelator. It causes us to know things. Okay? I mean, if you think about it, the way that you look at something and you say, oh, I know that computer monitor exists right there. Well, do you? I mean, you could doubt your five senses, right? You can. The same way you can doubt the Holy Ghost. But we learn by experience that, you know, it's there. We touch it. We reach out and feel it. We look away. We look at it again. It's still there. You know, that's as good as we can know, people. And if you doubt that or whatever, just think about it. I think any reasonable person who thinks about it will come to that same conclusion, that we can't get beyond doubt of any kind necessarily. But we can, we still can know stuff as good as we know anything. And we have to go on that. And it's the same with the Holy Ghost. You can learn by maybe not reaching out and touching, but by experience and by just diligent, you know, repetition and everything, that's true just as well as anything else is. Okay. Am I done with that? I'm done with that. Oh, the last one. Show other people your results and make sure they can check your answers. And that's fine. That one's fine. But the rest of that made me a little tiffed, as you can see. All right. So a couple other things, and I kind of scoured this for the theory, like I said, of what causes depression, what causes anxiety, and other stuff. And as I said, came up empty pretty much. As a matter of fact, kind of said in a couple places that we don't know, such as the following. So this is about schizophrenia, actually. The big heading here says, what causes schizophrenia? ? Because of its seriousness, schizophrenia has been studied more than any other mental disorder. But while we've ruled out some possible causes, we still haven't gotten to the root of the problem. So, we don't know what causes schizophrenia. And by we don't know, I mean we as a general population. Maybe somebody knows. There's always that possibility. When we say we don't know something or something hasn't been revealed, there's always the possibility that it's been revealed to somebody. And we know that from the scriptures, that things are revealed to some people that aren't revealed to everybody at once. I mean, Heavenly Father can reveal what he wants to anybody, anytime he wants. And nobody can put a restriction on that. Go ahead and try. Am I getting too hot-headed here? I don't know. Anyway, I'm giving vent to some of my feelings that I've never expressed in public before. But don't think that just because something hasn't been revealed generally that somebody might not know, okay? Because somebody might, and they may have been told not to. I'll read you a scripture sometime on that if you want. Speaking of what you want, I would love to get some feedback on from you guys. I'm looking forward to when I actually publish this thing and you have a means to get back with me. I think that's going to happen soon. I'm on episode number 9. The website is going to be shouldbeknown.com. It's already set up and registered and everything. So that's probably going to be where you'll find a way to comment. It's going to be a blog format. It's on WordPress. Feel free to email me as well, clayton@shouldbeknown.com. So, yeah. All right. And lastly, for this book here, I'm trying to find something on anxiety. Didn't find a whole lot. But, you know, this probably isn't the best source for what I'm looking for. There probably is not necessarily a lot of good sources. Terry Warner, I felt like, is a good source because he lays a kind of foundation, kind of groundwork for a certain way of inquiring about it, and he made headway in certain realms, the social realm, you might say, and did good work. And Alice Miller also made headway with her theory of us not being in touch with our feelings or whatever and having to process them fully or else they continue to eat at us. And that's kind of what depression is. That's what she kind of said, as well as some other things which maybe aren't right or whatever, but that basic insight just might be right. So anxiety, I'm not even going to read you everything that it says about anxiety because it's nothing new. It's talking about generalized anxiety disorder right here. Tense, easily startled, unusually attentive to the cause or source of things of the anxiety, may lie awake at night worrying, report fatigue and tiredness. They literally wear themselves out with worry. All right, we'll talk about that in a minute. But it says here, and this is what reminds me of Alice Miller. New research suggests that difficulty it's a teeny little note in the middle. New research suggests that difficulty identifying and managing emotions may contribute to a person's ongoing vulnerability to panic attacks. So it's this teeny weeny little note in small font in the middle of this book, and it's saying to me kind of what Alice Miller is saying. Maybe. I'm not sure what they mean by it because it's just a one-liner and it doesn't explain anything. But Alice Miller, you could say, well, she says that, you know, not being in touch with our emotions, you know, is the definition of depression, basically. And, well, this is relating it to anxiety, not depression, but still. Okay, that's about as much as I got from this book. I got some other things, little statistics and, you know, but nothing mind-blowing or really valuable for our inquiry here, except some stuff that made me mad, right? So the only other thing I want to talk about today is anxiety, because I want to get to what that is. So if depression is our kind of violating ourselves and not paying attention to ourselves and dismissing ourselves and demeaning ourselves, you might say, or insulting ourselves, offending ourselves by not acknowledging our true selves, our true emotions, and suppressing ourselves and everything. If that's what depression is, what is anxiety? And people have said how anxiety and depression are different sides of the same coin. And I don't have an answer for you today. The only thing I've thought about anxiety is that, a couple things, I guess. One is that, to me, anxiety is basically fear. But it's kind of like institutionalized into our mode of thinking and stuff, so it's kind of integrated in a different way, but it's basically just fear. And of course we're never supposed to be fearful. Doubt not, fear not, right? But you know, it happens. We get nervous and stuff, and because I guess we aren't perfect. So that's one thought, that's kind of what it's made out of. But I feel like I'm not finished on that. So if you want to contribute your thoughts and write in or something, that'd be great. But I'll do some thinking about this and try to come up with something before the next episode or whatever. And the other thought I had is it's more than just necessarily that, because there's an element of not being in touch with reality with anxiety. Of course, there is with depression and any kind of self-deception, but we've got to explain that and figure out exactly what it is, what we're doing, and all that. Not that anybody who has anxiety is doing anything wrong in the moral sense necessarily. I mean, we all do things wrong, but no more than anybody else, right? So if you have anxiety, you are likely a great person, and just like, you know, some people are overweight and have issues with that, and some people have other health issues, some people have depression, some people have anxiety, you know, you have anxiety. Some people have an eating disorder, some people have some other, you know, mental disorder or some other struggle in their lives, right? My point is that these are all things that kind of happen to us innocently, and can't really judge anybody for it. Yeah, all right. Good enough for now. I hope you have a great day. I hope you remember that we can know things outside of our senses because we can ask of God. We can seek, knock, ask. For everyone that seeketh, findeth, and to him who knocketh, it shall be opened. And I'm not getting my scriptures exactly right, but you can know stuff by the Holy Ghost. And maybe we'll talk about that sometime, how that works, because that's kind of it relates to psychology as far as I'm concerned, how you recognize the Holy Ghost and how you feel and how that works. We'll talk about that sometime, but know that you can, and know that God loves you and you are his son or daughter, and you may not know it and everything, but loves you. He knows you perfectly. He's a lot closer than you may know, and you are worth everything to him. You may not feel that way right now. You may not feel like you're worth a whole lot. Even other people may not feel like you're worth a lot. That doesn't matter. You are infinitely of worth to your Heavenly Father. And I just felt like I should say that, not just now, but previously. So I'm saying that. And hope you have a great day. We'll lead out with the same thing we started. And excuse my rant a little earlier. But I do care about you guys. I love you guys. All right. Good enough. Bye.